Facebook. There goes Facebook Live. We are good. Instagram, Facebook, how are you? Today, we are going to continue on with these subjects that we talked about the past couple of days. If people are watching on Instagram, if you are a law enforcement officer and you're sworn, you're more than welcome to join our Facebook group where we have tons of video and content at Street Cop Training. If you search it, just answer the questions. It'll get you in right away and make sure that you're validated and all that stuff. And we'll get you some more sensitive content that I do put out here on Instagram because it is a public forum. And I try not to give too much sensitive information out on a public forum. When I mean sensitive, nothing here is illegal. It's just that we don't want to be giving the bad guys the right information and any caveats or tricks or tips to be able to beat the system. So we are the system, and we have to make sure that we use it correctly and adequately to our needs. I appreciate somebody recently told me that one of the supervisors says, I teach the gray area. What? It's case law. it's the law. Strange. Anyway, yesterday we talked about an anonymous tipster calling in an erratic driver through an 911 system. What validated that being okay? That's pretty much a federal standard. I imagine if you're watching this from another state, you're going to have the same thing going on there. Today we're going to talk about a 17-year-old girl who calls into the police and advises police officers that her father is drunk driving, subsequently resulting in his arrest. So basically what happens is, this is in 2005. The name of the case is State v. Emilio. And the cops are getting called. Two patrol officers are heading to this house for a call of a domestic dispute. 17-year-old girl calls in that they need, it's a verbal, they need to have an officer come there. She then recalls police back and says, hey, my father is leaving. He's driving a black Oldsmobile, gives the license plate and says that he's drunk. Police subsequently find the car, light him up, put the sirens on. He pulls back into the driveway of the residence. And eventually he is given, he's arrested and charged with DWI and failure to submit to a breathalyzer test. And basically what they came to court and said was, remember, the cops had no motor vehicle violation in this, which would subsequently validate the stop. They stopped the car based solely on the report of the daughter, who's 17 years old, that her father was drunk driving. And here's what the court said. They said, based on the report to dispatch by a defendant's 17-year-old daughter, who identified herself, reported that her father was drunk driving, described the vehicle, and exposed herself to criminal prosecution, that if her report was knowingly false, there was reasonable and articulable suspicion of an offense to support a constitutional motor vehicle stop by the police. This is some of the consent decree that I'm reading to you, the more important stuff. In this case, the officers relied on the 17-year-old daughter's report that her father was drunk. This was not an anonymous tip. The daughter was a citizen who gave her name to the police. She was in the nature of a complainant whose information could be taken at face value, irrespective of other evidence concerning her reliability. Moreover, she exposed herself to criminal prosecution if her report to dispatch was knowingly false. That's a consent decree that comes out when the judge has ruled on this case. So if you're getting a call and somebody's reporting, let's break this down a little bit. It seems to be the trend what the courts like in these phone calls are the identity. When you can find the identity of the caller, that really validates the report. They also want to see you match up some description of the car. They'd like to see the car's vehicle color, make, model, and license plates being told to the police. If you can find that on the road, you'll be able to effectuate that stop without observing any reasonable suspicion or probable cause of a motor vehicle violation. Now, really, to get out of the details of this, like I said yesterday, if you're finding a car and you have a report like this, if you can let it drive safely for a little bit and wait till the person violates motor vehicle law, that's your best bet. This way, you have a reason to stop the car. Even if it's pretextual, even if you're following it, it's okay. It's fine. When you can find a motor vehicle violation to validate that stop, none of this matters. This goes out the window. They're not going to try to challenge it because you have a probable cause or a reasonable suspicion to stop the vehicle. And that's some advice for you. So if you're getting these calls, and we get them a lot as cops, these calls come in all the time. Really good stuff. David Allen, yeah, I'm just reading the Facebook thing you guys are reading in. I'm just trying to scroll back through some things. He fit the description that was given and made of offense. Martini 1433 on Instagram. I have no idea what you're talking about. Literally makes no sense. Try again. See who else we got here. I'm sure answer some of these questions while we're here. If you guys want to ask, post questions while I'm doing the video live, you're more than welcome to. I'll answer anything I can. Love the vids. Keep them coming. Helps with boring cardio. Yeah, I'm working on it, dude. Merc Charles, if you're on the, if you have Facebook, go into the Street Cop group with our 40, 50 hours of content that I've done, and it'll help you brush up on things. Let me go back through here. Dave writes, 911 call validates it. No, yes. But Dave, you have to remember, if you read the consent decree, they are looking for some good matchup descriptions of the vehicle. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. If you find the car and the plates are matching, that's what came up. It was just off by one letter. You can stop the car. If it's a real general description, you're going to have to show a little more independent corroboration. Nothing better than that, than a motor vehicle violation to validate the stop. If somebody's calling non-911 and they're giving their information on the phone, that's credible. You're good there. It's when somebody's calling non-911 and reporting it anonymously that you'll have to corroborate and have more veracity to the call. You'll have to validate the call. Let me see what he says here. We got Mike writes, so you should ask dispatch if the person gave their name to be able to validate PC. I didn't see that. I wasn't stealing from you, but yes, that's exactly it. That's exactly what you should be doing. But again, a lot of this stuff goes back to the same thing as random license plate checks, right? You can run a plate of a car, an Alpar or a random plate inquiry as you're driving. If that thing pops and the person's license is suspended, well, you're allowed to make the stop. But at the moment that you notice that the person, now this is for the driver of the vehicle alone, suspended, may have a warrant, may have expired license, expired DL, whatever it may be, not pertaining to the car where it'd be unregistered or registration would be suspended, the driver himself or herself. If you stop the car, you couldn't see who was in the car. You're not under obligation to ride up next to it and peer into the car and try to match a general physical description. But if you pull the car over and you have a Hispanic male driving and the car is registered to a blonde female, you immediately at that point, if you haven't generated any more PC, maybe the odor of marijuana, the odor of, overwhelming odor of alcohol, or you're seeing something, you have to terminate that stop. You cannot at that point begin to take credentials and start running people. It's no longer a valid motor vehicle stop. How do you fix that? Let that Alpar or that license plate look up. If that's what you're working with, running plates all day, and if that's what you're working with and you're trying to do more, pay attention to the videos, get yourself into a class. I'll get you into the points where you stop doing things like that, and we'll give you more effective ways of trying to find better arrests and more quality arrests. That's kind of what the whole program's about. But if you're running into that, you have to terminate that. So how do you fix that? If you're running the plates, hit suspended, ready? This is how you save it all. Follow the car. Know your motor vehicle law and all the technicalities, all the real interesting stuff. Even if it's 2 miles an hour over the speed limit, use that violation to validate the stop. You must use that violation. This way, it doesn't matter whether or not the person matches the description. You had a clear motor vehicle violation that allowed you to stop the car. So if you're using an Alpar and it draws you to a car and it has to do with the driver suspended or warrants and you can't match general description or you're not, just find PC to stop it. That's really the name of the game. And that you don't have to go back into the caveat. Well, could he stop it? Did it match up? It doesn't matter. You had PC to stop the car. If the pretext was that the Alpar went off and that's what you guys are using to follow that car, that's what drew your attention, well, you know, be smart about it. That's how you save things. That's it. This whole game of law enforcement and how we have to play, it's all legal. It's 100% legitimate. I would never give you information that was incorrect. And that's basically what that's my advice to you there. Let's go back to see anybody else had any more questions before I leave. Dave, you're welcome. No problem, buddy. Let's see here. I'm on Facebook, everything. Okay. We spoke last night about consent forms, passenger bags, and search. Okay. Sorry, dude. I don't know your name on Instagram. I remember. Good stuff. So, and actually, let's talk about his question last night was, in a motor vehicle, when you absent probable cause and you're requesting consent to search of a driver, does that consent, let's say you have two passengers in the car and they have bags, does that consent extend from the driver to other people's personal belongings, absent probable cause? And the answer to that is, no, it doesn't. How do you fix that? If you have people in the car and you're asking the driver for consent, right? In New Jersey, we know that this is New Jersey. Other states are different. We know that at a certain point, when you have enough reasonable suspicion, you can pose a question to the driver known as consent to search. And that's reasonable suspicion of criminal activity. However, if you have people in there that are holding backpacks or pocketbooks, without their consent, you just can't go into that. Maybe until the point that you find some PC. So what I'll tell you is this. If you're getting people who are clutching their bags and denying consent and you're under the suspicions that you have crime afoot, I would say at that point it's a good time to call for a canine unit, let the dog indicate on the car, establishing PC to search the entire car bumper to bumper. That is very good advice. It can be used. And even if they took the bags outside of the car and the dog hit, my advice to you is I would still say that those bags were in play and they could have been the product of where that odor where the dog indicated from comes from. And I think that would make for, we don't have specific case law on that, but if you look at State versus Judge 1994, it's kind of the same thing where just because we can smell weed, we're allowed to search people and their belongings, but we can't smell what dogs can smell, but it's still the same PC. So that's my advice. Guys are doing that. Nothing's getting suppressed. It's going forward. It's moving forward. There's just tips and tools to help you do this job better and understand what you can do in the field and not get beat. Let's see. Okay, I think we're good over here. And let's see on Facebook. And I think we're good over here. So there's a function when you do live on Facebook. It's pretty funny. You can like bring people on camera. I'm just going to hit one of these one day and try to bring somebody on camera. Guys, if you add people to the Street Cop group and you add 25 people, I am going to send you something really cool. So if you have friends that are in law enforcement, I don't need your grandmother in the group. Law enforcement officers only. Retired is fine if they have some value they want to bring. But if you add 25 people to the group, I will send you something. There's a couple guys who have done that on their own accord and have received some pretty cool gifts via mail. The guy who did it yesterday, I think his name's John. John, you have your package is already in the mail, brother, and it's on your way. So 25 people added to the group, and I will send you something definitely of value. You'll thank me. Guys, have a good night. I'll be back here tomorrow. We'll be exploring more. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not always interdiction here. It's everything. I'm trying to get everybody on the same page. If you have a question you want me to address in a video, that's fine. I'll do it for you. But tomorrow we should be continuing on with different types of informants. We'll go to criminal informants, CIs. I don't know. We'll see. See you tomorrow, Brinks. I'll see you guys later.